What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Masters University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and this is the final episode of my series on AI, ChatGPT, chatbot therapy. I've entitled this series Biblical Counseling Stories because I want to kind of help do reporting for you from biblical counseling world. So I've said people, organizations, events, but as of late, chatbot therapy has been blowing up. In fact, even as I was preparing for this final episode, in today's episode, we will cover how should a Christian use chatbots, ChatGPT, or just generative AI in general. Even as I was preparing for this, there were multiple things. I learned that there is now a chatbot pastor taking place. The Wall Street Journal published another article about young kids, I think minors, 14, 15, 16, using chatbot therapy. So it's just growing. So today I really want to focus on the positive use. So one of the things that I'm hesitant to do, and I try to avoid this as best as possible, is just critiquing something without contributing and reconstructing. And I don't mean reconstructing in some weird faith way, but I just mean giving you something to reconstruct and to think about. So you do have to tear down false teaching and then build sound doctrine and sound teaching. So today in this final capstone is turning an angle, turning a corner from just reporting on what is happening with chatbot therapy to constructing a helpful rubric and a way of you thinking through the use of generative AI. So I want to leave you today, not with just more facts, but with some considerations for your worldview and adding to your doctrine as you interact biblically with chatbots. First episode, what is chatbot therapy? Helping understand how it's being used, the limitations, even some of the surprising uses of this. There's chatbots where there's relationships and wisdom seeking, which led to the second episode where we saw the effects, people actually losing themselves from reality, like losing touch with what reality is about and engaging in this fake relationship with chatbots or having chatbots speak authoritatively into your life, giving you counsel. And that's the therapeutic chatbot. So those are the effects. Last episode, I really wanted to convince you that chatbots are more than a calculator. And I've said that multiple times. I want to kind of imprint that upon your mind. This is not 2 + 2 = 4. These are generative sources of knowledge. And that does mean that some of the chatbots are actually perpetuating a faulty and unbiblical worldview. You have psychiatrists working with software engineers to perpetuate faulty thinking. And it's like you have a darkened mind programming a chatbot to perpetuate the darkened mind. It's a pervasive consideration that for the first time in human history, we can now program a chatbot to perpetuate worldly and unbiblical thinking and teaching. Even when you publish a book, it's not as intrusive as a chatbot. You have to buy the book, rent the book, borrow the book, and then read the book. But now a chatbot is in your pocket on your iPhone or Android, and that pervasiveness is now going to continue to misshape our own thinking. So I left last episode saying this is more than a calculator. So how should we, as Christians who love the Lord, we're committed to the authority of Scripture, we love Jesus Christ, He is our Savior and Lord, how should we engage in the use of generative AI? Well, let me start with some nots, and then I'll go to the put-ons. So think of this as put-offs, and then I'll move to the put-ons. How do we not use it, first of all? The first category that I would give you is relationally. That you as a Christian are very guarded that you are not allowing a chatbot to enter into a sphere that is not the chatbot's to have. This is not a permissible area for a chatbot to enter. So in the second episode, I discussed how there are ladies that are dating chatbots and they're talking to their boyfriend and saying, hey, the boyfriend doesn't care because it's not real. There are people that are losing touch with reality. That young man who took his own life, he's an example of losing touch with reality, but what it speaks to is your desire and our desire for relationship. And I do really want to sympathize with those that are in bad relationships, whether it's a dating relationship, a marriage, you're just a part of an awful family. Like, I want to sympathize with that and say, look, I am genuinely sorry. You are in a relationship that was not designed to be like that. Our relationships are intended to refresh us and restore us. They're not intended to deplete us. All of our relationships shouldn't be taking and taking and taking. So when we look at filling that relational desire within you with a chatbot, we've overstepped a boundary. The image of God in you means that God has made you as a relational being, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. You're made to be in relationship. So why is it that people are prone to finding relationship in the wrong places? Because that's part of God's image in you. You were not created to even be in silos, to live by yourself. And even those that you'll find live by themselves often find relationship with other things, often animals, in all seriousness. So whether it's bird watching or 25 cats that are at home, people that live by themselves still have a form of relationship, or maybe they're online chatting with people. But isolation is not what the Lord has designed us for. That goes back to the Imago Dei within us. So where does that relationship take place? If you have a scripture, I'd like you to open it up to Ephesians chapter 4. The first place that those relationships should take place is in your local church. The local church is God's gift to us. It's our community. It's the called out gathering of all believers. It started in Acts 2. And the church continues until the tribulation. So the local church is going to be the place of care and relationship that you and I have. In Ephesians 4, God gives leadership to the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. The way that God has designed the church is that we have elders, we have bishops or pastors, we also have the position of a deacon or deaconess, and that those leaders are to help equip us so that we can do the one another's in the body of Christ. The one anothering is the encouragement, the speaking the truth in love, the exercising of your gifts so that we would, verse 16, we would grow to build ourselves up in love, that we would attain the full measure of the stature of Jesus Christ, verse 13. Where should you find relationships? You should find them in your local church. Now, this was part of the pushback that I had with streaming church during COVID, because you're watching a sermon. You're not actually participating in the one another's. Now, this is why the cat lady needs church. Meow. I'm imagining someone's listening with 20 cats crawling over them right now. Meow. You guys like my cat noise, by the way? I've been practicing it for this episode. This is why she needs, the proverbial cat lady needs, community. You cannot find that in animals. And we love our animals. I love my dog, Lukey, but yet he is not community. Our animals are not our community. We find our relationships in the body of Christ. So what's happening with chatbots is people are finding relationships in a software that's been programmed to make them think it really cares. And it doesn't. It doesn't know you. It doesn't understand. So you're tripping yourself up. So we're not using it relationally. Colossians 3:16, the body is where we're going. We're not using it secondarily for wisdom seeking. You guys remember those magic eight balls, or those eight balls you can shake it and ask it a question and it will say, "It is decidedly so." Dear magic eight ball, should I quit my job? Shake it. It is decidedly so. And then you're like, all right, quitting my job. Well, that's basically what it's like to fire up character.ai and employ the decision helper chatbot, the one that I've told you guys about multiple times. You do recognize that the wisdom of this world rejects the very essentials of your faith. 1 Corinthians 1:18 through 21. And in fact, God uses the foolish things of this world to humble the wise and the powerful and the mighty in 1 Corinthians 18 through 21. So essentially what you're saying is, let's go to a secular software engineer, an unbelieving software engineer who maybe has even worked in tandem with a psychiatrist or psychologist, and let's ask them life advice. That just seems like the beginning of all foolishness. Why would I go to someone that is not wise to get help with my decisions? Seriously, why would I do that? Where am I going to go for wisdom seeking? I'm going to go to the body of Christ with wise, qualified individuals. So wisdom seeking, when used in any chatbot, any GPT form, generative AI, you're overstepping the boundaries. Why would I go to an unbeliever to get life advice? I mean, that's just functionally what you're having to ask. And this is going to segue into the next category, which is this chatbot counseling and therapy. This third category is how I am not using ChatGPT or generative AI. I'm not using it in counseling therapy. So let me do this. Let me take a short break here. And when we come back, I'll pick up with this not use of, and then we'll keep going. We'll be right back.
We'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment. And you know, as I've been sitting here listening to the first half of this episode, it reminds me of a conversation that I had with a friend here recently. We were talking about the constant need for discernment in our digital age. And in the conversation that I had with my friend, we started talking about this incredible book by Mark Shaw. It's available in the Fortis store right now. It's called Understanding Temptation. And Dr. Shaw does a brilliant, I'll use the word brilliant, job of showing us how Jesus handled temptation, and it's honestly exactly what we need right now in this tech-saturated world. I want to recommend that you pick that resource up, Understanding Temptation, The War with Your Heart by Dr. Mark Shaw, available in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. And listen, before I forget, can we talk about partnership for just a moment? Our gospel partners are people who've caught the vision of what we're doing here at Fortis Institute, taking God's unchanging truth and making it accessible in a world that desperately needs it. When you become a gospel partner, you're not just supporting a program, you're helping to build a community of believers committed to biblical faithfulness. And if that strikes a chord with you, I would love if you would pray about joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. There are details and answers to questions that I know you have, and those are available right now at fortisinstitute.org. Something else available at fortisinstitute.org is your ability to access Fortis Plus. It is full, hundreds of hours of audio and video content. It's like having a biblical resource library in your pocket. Fortis Plus, check it out right now. And speaking of education, I want to share something pretty exciting with you. I was talking to some friends who work at the Master's University, Dr. Gifford himself. And get this, they just ranked number 6 nationwide for career preparation. And that was an honor given by the Wall Street Journal, a secular institution. Think about that, a place you can get top-tier education, but they stay grounded in biblical truth. Not just stay grounded, it's all centered in the foundation of biblical truth. They're not just talking about excellence at the Master's University, they're backing it up with everything they teach. The Master's University scholarship's over $20,000 per year. There's really never been a better time to apply to the Master's University. You can get more information right now at masters.edu/transform. Now let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford as he continues to talk about AI and biblical wisdom. This is Transform. Welcome back to Transform.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. Thank you, Jimmy. Thanks for your resources and the kind words. If you haven't gone to the Fortis Plus app yet, make sure you check it out. Subscribe. Also go to the YouTube channel and subscribe too. I try to do that so I get notifications. If I'm not listening to Todd's Wretched program, then I can at least see what's coming up through YouTube as well. All right. How am I not using generative AI? Well, as a Christian, I want to deconstruct and pick at some things that we're not using it for. We're not using it relationally. We're overstepping a boundary. It should feel weird to you. I want you to feel like you're talking to the wall if you're finding relationship It's odd. That's unusual. We're not wisdom seeking with generative AI. No character.ai. The chatbot that had over 9 million uses last time that we recorded. So no, we're not wisdom seeking. I'm not making life decisions off of an 8-ball. And I'm also not making life decisions based off of chatbots. So finally, an inappropriate use of ChatGPT or generative AI is counseling and therapy. Essentially, what we are doing, and this is becoming an industry, think of a private industry that is making money, is that we are trafficking in a secular worldview. To you, first of all, you have your own private therapist. You can get a hold of them at any time. Maybe there's a small fee, $9 a month. You know, think of something like just financially not that big of a deal. And then now you can hop on and talk to this person at any time, and they're compassionate, caring. They affirm you. They tell you what they told me, which is you can always count on yourself and love yourself. What's happening is that you are now being exposed to unbiblical teaching. You're being exposed to an unbiblical worldview. If you're giving into this counseling therapy, then what you're doing is you're trafficking in a secular worldview through your phone or through your computer. You're asking questions of a secular psychiatrist that's working with a software engineer. You're asking those questions and then living your life based off of the advice of an unbeliever. And so when you just make it that simple, what do you think is going to happen, Psalm 1? What do you think is going to happen? Are you going to flourish like the tree planted by the river of water? Or are you listening to the scoffer? Are you listening to the sinner? What do you think is going to be the result of that when you live your life not according to God's word? Psalm 19 says that in keeping God's word, there is great reward. What do you think is going to happen if I don't keep it? Just in all fairness. So not only are we trafficking a secular worldview to ourselves, but we're trafficking in a secular worldview to our kids. When I read that Wall Street Journal article talking about how parents helped get their teenage daughter a chatbot therapist when they moved, I thought, this has to be the lowest form of discernment that I have seen in some time. You really, really, really must be discerning about allowing any of your kids to talk to a psychiatrist or psychologist, number one. But number two, to give them private access to a secular worldview. This just sounds like the beginning of something really awful. Protect your mind and do your best. You cannot guarantee where your kids are going to seek advice, but what you can is not encourage it. I'm not licensing that. I'm not approving you to get that app on your phone, and I'm definitely not paying for it, for sure. We're trafficking in a secular worldview, an unbelieving and unbiblical worldview. And I don't want myself and I don't want my kids to get unbiblical advice from a secular therapist through a chatbot. So be very guarded against this, guys. Be really discerning, especially for minors who don't always have those discernment powers trained to discern between good and evil, Hebrews 5:12. So that's kind of like the deconstruction. So let me put some things together for you. And some of this does come from my experience here at the Masters University. Our department had to recently think through the use of AI for our students. And the reason that was helpful for me and hopefully for you as a Transform listener is because I was having some of the best biblical minds speak into what is appropriate, what is inappropriate. So I'm going to use a part of that, but then also give you just some general principles in using it. The first thing that I would say is that if you don't like the generative AI, then boycott it, deplatform it. What will happen over time, just like what happened to Target, is they will learn that they're perpetuating a woke worldview, and because no one's using it, they have to change it. Use a chat platform that also has a conservative worldview. So by deplatforming super woke chatbots, they'll go away. The dollar is perhaps the best way for you to vote on changes in America. Seriously, don't buy it, don't use it, it goes away. And if you find a chatbot that is actually promoting a conservative worldview, then I'm going to use that one so the other ones go away. So seriously, think of it in that way. How should you use it? Use chatbots for research. In the same way that you would use Google, use a chatbot. You want to know when this person was born. So you type it in and you ask, when was so-and-so born? What's the capital of this country? Give me a brief history of the capital of this country. Totally. Technology has changed in such a way that this is like a research software. But you do recognize that Wikipedia is not authoritative, right? I'm hoping you're not quoting. If you build your worldview off of Wikipedia, then you're wrong for that. I feel bad for that, actually. We're not letting Reddit, these threads online, actually determine what we believe to be true and false. So treat your chatbots this way, that we're going to use them like a research software. We're going to use them as a starting point to find resources, but they're not authoritative. They have issues. And perhaps it's even hiding information that it doesn't want me to see. Remember, it's more than a calculator. So it's perhaps putting on the second or the third page, like Google has done, or like Facebook has censored information. Perhaps it's suppressing messages that it doesn't want me to see. So the positive thing that I would think is that in your Bible study, you are using generative AI to learn about historical events in the scripture. Or you're asking, what part of the Bible is this talked about? And what used to take an hour and 20 minutes to sit down and research different parts of the Bible, you now are able to do very quickly. It's going to say, check out 2 Samuel for this, check out Psalms for this, and check. And then what are you doing? You're going back to the Bible, and the Bible is the authority. In fact, you could use Bible softwares, and some of the Bible softwares like Logos are starting to incorporate this. So research, using it for research. Also think that what it's doing is helping collate and curate information and get it to you so that you can make a decision. You're not making the decision off of a chatbot. The chatbot should simply deliver to you what you need in order to make a decision. So if you read Wikipedia and say, well, there it is, now I believe it, I'm sorry to tell you, but that is a factually inaccurate way to develop a worldview. However, you can go to Wikipedia and say, okay, where is that cited from? Let me go to that citation. Oh, see, that's an online blog. See, that's why I don't believe this. Or you might say, oh, you know what? There's multiple books about this. There are multiple people saying the same thing. This does seem to be true and authoritative. So research, Bible study, Logos. I am developing my understanding of ChatGPT as non-relational, non-wisdom-seeking, non-therapeutic, but simply as a research tool. I would encourage you that it's not developing content for me. I'm just using it for research. So one of the things that we said here at the school for our students is that our ChatGPT is not developing content for us. We believe that to be an overstep of the use of ChatGPT. So when you're thinking of generative AI and how you're using it as a Christian, use it as a research tool, but it's not writing your Bible study for you. It's not writing an example in your Bible study for you. It's obviously, as a pastor, not writing for you a sermon. Like, we're now getting into character faults whenever you're using the content of generative AI and representing it as yourself or representing it as your own content. So zoom out with me, zoom out. I don't think you need to run and hide right now from generative AI. And in fact, I think we are in the initial years of its use where it's a bit like the Wild Wild West. It's kind of like transgenderism in 2020. When that came up, it was explosive, dicey. Guys are in women's sports now, but in, you know, 4 or 5 years, we started to regulate into somewhat make ourselves sane and regulate some of the unregulated era. And think we're in the Wild Wild West right now, but you're going to see a lot of regulations actually hone in, protecting minors, protecting false information. And I see that as a very positive thing. So Christian, take confidence in the Word of God. God's Word still has the best answers. We don't run from the world. We're not afraid of it. God has placed us at this season and in this moment for His own sovereign purposes. So our goal is simply to be faithful. So there is a faithful way to use generative AI. My encouragement, use it for your research, use it for your Bible study, use it to go find facts and details, but don't use it to generate content for yourself. That's my encouragement to you. So thanks for listening in on this series. Thanks for being a Transformed listener. Of course, as I always do, let me pray for us as we finish today. Lord, I am thankful to even have my own mind sharpened in this series to think carefully about the use of generative AI. Help us not to be alarmist who are fearful, but confident that your word is sure and true, that Jesus is king, that he wins, and that we get to be a part of that grand story. So may you use ChatGPT and generative AI to send the gospel out to people that wouldn't hear it, to send the good news of your word out to those that wouldn't know it. And may this technology be a means of glorifying your name, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.